This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi guys, hope everyone's well and welcome back to the Improvement Podcast. So in this episode 171, I'm going to touch on what makes an exercise effective and basically how to optimize your exercise selection. So first of all, just to clarify, there's no best exercise. Every exercise you'll perform will have its pros and cons. Even like the best machines you can argue on the market, like you can always point out a downside of them. So there's no best exercise, but each will have their pros and cons. And there's some that are definitely more effective than others, so I'm going to go through how to determine if an exercise is effective or not, so you can basically utilize that information to optimize your exercise selection as much as possible. So first of all, the first thing I'm going to touch on in terms of what makes like an effective exercise is the target muscle being the limiting factor. What I mean by this is if you are, let's say, doing a... Let's say you're doing a squat, your goal is to grow your quads. And when you are squatting, your limiting factor throughout your squat is maybe your glutes or your lower back. Then for the individual who wants to bring up their quads, that's not going to be maybe an optimal or favourable exercise for them. So you want to make sure whatever muscle you are trying to develop, train or bias throughout that movement is what's actually limiting you throughout the movement. Because if you are not, let's say you're doing a squat, stick with that example, it's quite a good one. If you're trying to bring up your quad squatting and you are, let's say, always failing due to your glutes limiting you or your lower back limiting you, then what that basically means is you're not going to be getting those effective stimulatory reps close to failure when it comes to bringing up your quads. And as a result, you'll struggle to grow them throughout the movement. So you always want to make sure whatever movement you're doing, the muscle you're trying to actually develop, stimulate and grow is what's limiting you throughout that exercise. And another example could be like if you're using some sort of, let's say, we'll take a chest press, but you feel like your triceps are limiting you just because the machine's built very poorly or for whatever reason. Maybe not the best example, but then again, that would make that exercise maybe unfavourable for developing your chest, for example. So yeah, make sure whatever exercise you choose, the target muscle is the limit factor and not maybe any other muscle group. And then next up is going to be stability. So stability is basically a prerequisite to strength, meaning in order to express our strength, in order to perform well, you first of all need to be stable. Like if you are in an unstable environment, your ability to produce force, in other words, lift loads, is going to be much poorer. A good example I give to people is if you try and do a squat on the floor versus if I got you to do a squat on like one of the Bosu balls or like a half yoga ball, what do you think you're going to be much stronger doing? It's going to be the squat on the floor. Why? Because you're in a much more stable environment. So the more stable we are, the more force we can produce. And what this basically means is when it comes to your exercise selection, it can mean things like a hack squat instead of a free weight squat. Dumbbell press might not be as favourable in comparison to, let's say, a chest press, just due to that reason, due to stability being lower. And again, that doesn't mean the dumbbell press is bad, the barbell back squat's bad. It's just a potential con of that exercise, because like I said, they all have their pros and cons. So you want to make sure you don't need to be extremely stable. Like, all your exercise selection doesn't need to take place on a machine. But at the same time, if you are, let's say, performing all your movements in an unstable environment, then you're probably leaving gains on the table. And doing movements that are unstable can actually be favourable, because see, if you train movements that are unstable, you will improve your stability, which means you'll get more output, or you'll get more out of your movements in a stable environment. Like, if you can, let's say, do a walk and lunge to failure with a lot of weight, then when you get on a leg press, or when you do a barbell back squat, or when you do, let's say, a hack squat machine, you're going to be extremely stable. And as a result, your ability to therefore perform well, produce force, and take the target muscle to failure is going to be far greater. And this is like a good example of how you shouldn't just think one-dimensional when it comes to your exercise selection. What I mean by that is, yes, we're trying to train muscle groups, we're trying to stimulate muscle growth, but that's not the only purpose of doing a certain exercise. Like I touched on there, if we can perform an exercise that improves our stability, that'll give us more out of the other movements. Same with, let's say, if a exercise allows you to maybe, like, you're trying to improve your overhead mobility, training your tricep in an overhead position can be therefore favourable to improve that overhead mobility. So stop thinking about, when it comes to exercises, just does it train the target muscle, but also, like, what other benefits could the exercise offer? And that can allow you to maybe influence your decision making when it comes to exercise selection. So you might maybe put a split squat in your program because you do struggle with stability, and you also struggle with maybe your hip flexibility on your back leg. So therefore, elevating that, getting that stretch at the bottom of a split squat could be favourable for improving your mobility, flexibility, and also improving your stability in the process, helping you get more out of other movements in the gym. So yeah, make sure you're in a relatively stable environment. And what you can do is, even if you are doing free-weight movements, or even if you are on a machine, think, how can you create more stability on it? So if you've seen in my Instagram videos, you might notice, like, I'll use a yoga mat when I'm doing the hamstring curl to clamp my legs down even harder, or I might use a seat belt during the leg press or leg extension. And when I'm performing my movements, you'll notice my feet aren't tap dancing about the place. They're stable, they're in the exact same spot start to finish. Why? Creates more stability. And that's something you can also do throughout breathing as well. So making sure you're bracing hard, or in other words, taking a big breath in through your midsection and chest when lowering, in order to get an effective brace and be able to perform better as a result of that. So make sure you're trying to not perform all your movements in an unstable environment, and just bear that in mind. Like, if you are trying to grow your chest, it's a weak muscle group, but all your movements are unstable ones, like a barbell press, dumbbell press, then you might potentially be leaving gains on the table, and you could consider an exercise where you're a bit more locked in. And next up is going to be alignment. So alignment is something you can influence through your setup and also your exercise selection. So what I mean by alignment is things like your elbow joint. It only flexes and extends. It's a hinge joint, which means it doesn't rotate any other direction. It will only move in one path. So if, let's say, you're doing a, for your arm work, let's say you're doing a flat bar extension and your elbows are excessively flared out when you're doing a tricep extension, then your arms wanting to travel not just down, but down and out, and the bar's just going up and down. What that basically means is you're putting stress through your joint in a way it doesn't move. A good way to think about it is, imagine if you are, let's say, doing a, or imagine you've got a door, right, or a door frame, or a car door, for example. You can open and close it one direction. If you hang on that door, it doesn't move up or down. So that's just going to put stress through the hinges. The same applies, so whenever you're doing, like, arm work, for example, always make sure your elbow's tucked, like, or you're basically extending in the path where the bar's going, if that makes sense. It's quite hard to kind of put across in a video, but basically a good example of maybe poor alignment would be like a flat bar extension or a cable car with a really narrow grip, for example, because your arms are wanting to travel a different direction than the actual implement's traveling, which will put stress through your joints. Same applies when you're setting up for like a leg extension and hamstring curl. Your knee only wants to move up and down. It's a hinge joint as well. So if your knee's facing out excessively, then your leg's going to want to travel out. But again, when we're doing an extension, the machine doesn't travel out. It travels forward and back. So you want to align yourself so that you've not got stress going through the joint in a manner it doesn't move in. The next up is going to be range of motion. So when we think about range of motion, if we can get more range of motion, we'll be able to lift less loads, which means we'll accumulate less fatigue, and also we'll be able to get the target muscle through a larger range of motion itself, which you could say is favourable for muscle growth. It doesn't make sense, let's say, if you're trying to develop a muscle using like a very, very small range, because again, you'll accumulate more fatigue throughout the process, probably not going to be that stimulatory. So instead, try and get movements where you can take that target muscle through quite a large range of motion. Every movement doesn't need to be throughout a full range of motion, but what it says, as long as in your sessions and in your weekly training split, you're visiting basically all ranges of motion or most ranges of motion for most joints, is a good place to be to maintain your mobility, to look after your joints over the long term, prevent any kind of issues occurring, and also so you're not leaving progress to chance when it comes to building muscle. So make sure you're like training throughout a full range throughout each muscle group throughout the week, pretty much. And when we think about range of motion, the most important range we kind of want to visit and load is that mid and lengthened range. That doesn't mean the shortened range is invaluable. What I mean by mid and lengthened and then shortened is, when you think about a muscle's length, bicep for example, its lengthened range would be when your arm's straight, mid range is when your arm's, let's say, 90 degree angle, shortened range is when your arm's fully bent. And it's shown that kind of muscle growth takes place best in that mid lengthened range. So that's where we kind of want to maybe place most of our exercises, in positions where we're training those ranges of motion. So making sure you're getting movements, or you're picking movements that allow you a good stretch and will allow you to kind of visit that mid position as well. And also, like, training a shortened range or the fully contracted position is not bad, for example, but again, we don't want maybe 90% of exercises to only work that position. We want to primarily be able to bias the mid-range and lengthened range. So that's what I'd recommend kind of looking for when you're picking exercises. A good example is, let's say, if you're training your, we'll take, what's a good example? You'll take your quads, then you probably wouldn't just want to do the leg extension, because that will only train the mid and shortened range. Whereas when we think about leg presses, hack squats, they allow you to get a bit more stretch, a bit more load in that kind of mid lengthened range. You could say like a dumbbell lateral raise, that goes on to my next point actually, so we'll save it for there. But yeah, basically with the range of motion you're training, make sure you're getting like a good stretch. So a bad example of what would be maybe a poor movement is, let's say, doing a barbell back squat but not even going to parallel, or doing a bench press and stopping miles off your chest, because there you're not really exposing yourself to much load in that middle and stretch position of the muscle's length. And next up, a point that's very similar is the resistance profile of the exercise. So what I mean by the resistance profile is basically when you're performing an exercise, you want the resistance to be biased in that middle and lengthened position of the rep. Meaning, if you're performing a move, or you don't want, like a dumbbell lateral raise is a good example of what we don't want. And again, that doesn't mean a dumbbell lateral raise won't grow your shoulders, but it just means I probably wouldn't solely rely on like a dumbbell lateral raise, or maybe the equivalent, a similar equivalent to another muscle group, to grow that certain muscle group. What I mean by that is, if you are, let's say, wanting to grow your hamstrings, and let's say the machine in your gym, for whatever reason, is really, really light at most of the range of motion, apart from when your leg's fully bent, then that will overload the shortened position, or the contracted position, but won't load your muscle much elsewhere. That would be a example of maybe not the best resistance profile for a movement. So we ideally want to pick movements where we load the middle and lengthened range. So thinking a dumbbell press, thinking a leg press, a squat variation. They're some kind of good examples. And if you do train like a well-equipped gym, you'll notice some of the machines will purposely get heavy as you get into that stretch position and that mid position, for that reason, because most gym manufacturer or gym equipment manufacturers, they don't care about optimizing the resistance profile. They don't care about making the perfect machine. They're just trying to get money in their pocket at the end of the day. So most gym manufacturers will just slap a machine together and not really consider these variables. But yeah, you want one that will load that middle and lengthened position. If you've ever, let's say, seen any of my training footage, and you'll see I use some of the machines where you can load the weights on different pegs, and I'll load it on the top and middle one. That's because it allows me to put more load in that middle and lengthened position. And when we get through a session, our ability to shorten or fully contract a muscle will diminish. So that means it will be even harder to lock out certain lifts. And in that circumstance, it's even more important to pick movements where you are overloading that middle and lengthened position. Because if not, you'll be just drastically limited by your ability to lock out. And then you won't be able to take yourself to failure in that middle and lengthened position unless you perform partials. But again, partials might not be that easy to do on that movement. And machines where you can really load that stretch in middle position, where they kind of come in very, very handy, is training your back. Because when we think about basically most back movements, they are really heavy when our muscle's shortened or when we've got good contraction, but they're really light in the stretch. So that can basically mean having access to good kick can be favourable for back training, and also finishing movements with partials in your back training when you don't have access to them can be a good idea, so you're failing for a full range and so you're overloading that middle and lengthened position. And yes, what you'll notice as well is, see if you look at certain machines, like if you go in a leg extension, the cable wraps around that like wee maybe semicircular cam it's called. I can't think of like a easier way to describe it, but basically it's called a cam. Basically what the cable will wrap around and feed into, you'll notice it's like a usually like an oval shape, or it's not completely circular. The reason being is that basically changes the resistance, that basically changes where it's hard and where it's light. When it's closer to the wee axis it rotates around, it'll be lighter. When it's furthest away, it'll be heavier. And that's why like they're not super circular, because it will basically influence where an exercise is hard is easy. So when you've got, let's say, access to good kit, you'll notice that, like I said, it gets lighter where we're weaker and it gets heavier when we're stronger. Because what will arguably make an exercise really effective is if it's really hard for the full range. So like your last rep throughout a movement, if it's extremely difficult throughout the whole range of motion, you're going to get more out of that than, let's say, the last rep on a dumbbell lateral raise, or last rep on a, let's say, a leg extension where it's really hard at the top and you fail because you can't get to the top, but you still got a lot of oomph for a lot of energy and a lot of strength in that other part of the lift. That's going to be less favourable for muscle growth, in my opinion. Because when we've got like a slow rep speed, that's when we're recruiting the most muscle fibre. So if we can have like a last rep, which is extremely slow start to finish, that's going to be more favourable for muscle growth, and it's going to allow you to get more stimulation from that set. And we've only got a finite amount of sets we can do. We've only got a finite amount of time and ability to recover. So it makes sense, if you're already training hard consistently, trying to maybe pick appropriate resistance profiles. I appreciate that's quite a hard concept to get your head around. And next up, quite an obvious one, but you want to make sure your exercise selection is pain-free. So whatever movements you're doing, you get on with, because at the end of the day, you can't train when you're injured. And a lot of people will think about, oh, is the hack squat optimal, or the squats optimal, or is the pendulum the best? Like, it's quite a relevant question in terms of what exercise is best, because if, let's say, the hack squat was best for yourself to grow your quads, but ruined your knees, then it's no longer best. What's best is what you can do consistently, what you enjoy, and what you can get stronger at over time. So if, let's say, your hack squat on paper is the most optimal exercise for your quads, but batters your knees, then that's not optimal for you. So it's good to think for the actual individual in that circumstance. Or if someone hates hack squatting, they're going to put less effort into it, so they're going to get less from it. But yeah, basically you want to be able to stay pain-free over a long period of time. The people that make the most progress are people that will not be injured. So that kind of remains a priority in our training, just staying injury-free. So make sure with your movements, you're picking ones you get on with that don't cause you any joint or connective tissue pain. And also, like, if you are, then obviously consider your form. So it might not be the exercise itself, but it might just be the way you're executing it. And that goes back down to the point I made regarding alignment. So that's why alignment's important, because over time you can have wear and tear on your joints if you are picking movements with poor alignment, or if you're poor performing movements in a way that you're not aligned effectively, if that makes sense. Because again, the people that make the most progress are people that are the most consistent, get stronger over time, and part of kind of achieving those things is staying injury free. So that should remain quite important, and I don't want to say the priority in your training, because if it's a priority, then you can just lift like absolutely no load and not push yourself ever. But that's not gonna build muscle. There's some element of risk when you're pushing yourself to the extremes and trying to kind of push how much muscle you can build to the extremes, really. And next up is enjoyment, which I partly touched on, and again, it depends on the individual. If someone's wanting, like for myself, enjoyment matters pretty little when it comes to exercise selection, because I'll do what I need to do to progress my physique. But if I've got a personal training client and they want to deadlift, but I don't think deadlifts are best for muscle growth for whatever reason, then I might still put in the deadlift. So that's what I'll ask when I start with clients, like, what exercises do you enjoy? Because what is most important with your training is, again, good adherence and doing something you can consistently do. So if I can manipulate the training to make it more enjoyable and to improve adherence, then that's going to be favourable for their progress in the long term. So making sure you're picking movements, you're picking a split you enjoy, but also it is good doing difficult things. Difficult things, funnily enough, will provide a return for your investment. So as much as you want to enjoy your training, if you want to maximise your progress, all your decisions shouldn't be influenced by enjoyment. And you should, if you really love the gym and you want to progress that much, then what I find enjoyable is results. So if you're wanting results, then don't just think what do you enjoy, but also what's going to be effective for yourself in the long term. And also progressive runway. So what I mean by progressive runway is, with your movements, you want to pick movements you've got the ability to progress over a long period of time. So if you're training at a gym and your dumbbells only go up to 30 kilos and you are, let's say, doing a chest press and dumbbell chest press, and you can, let's say, lift that for 30 reps, and that's not going to be a good conducive movement for yourself. So in that circumstance, you might want to swap for another movement, because in order to build tissue, we need to be applying progressive overload. In other words, making things harder in some fashion. Obviously, you could look to pause it, you could look to improve your tempo, range of motion, but at some point, like, if you've maxed out that exercise in terms of your ability to progress it, then you're not going to be able to really get much out of it in the long term. So make sure whatever movements you're picking, you've got the ability to progress it over a long period of time. And that comes back down to stability. And another example is like a dumbbell goblet squat. That can be, on paper, with like the path of the movement, etc., a good movement to train your quads. You're staying relatively upright, you're getting a good amount of bend in your knee, but again, you're less stable, and also the target muscle might not be the limiting factor. Because if you're holding a dumbbell in front of your chest doing a goblet squat, eventually you'll get strong enough that the limiting factor is going to be you holding the dumbbell in front of your chest. So again, that makes it maybe not a favourable exercise. And again, that means there's no progressive runway there, because you're going to get to a point where you're maxed out in terms of what you can lift by how much you can hold in front of you. Saying that, I will often put a dumbbell goblet squat in my personal training client's programme, because if someone's brand new to the gym, then their shoulders aren't going to limit them, because their legs aren't that strong, first of all, and second of all, it's a really good movement to teach the squat. So if you are someone who really struggles to squat, or knows a family member, friend who's trying to get into the gym and struggles to squat, putting a barbell on your back is like a recipe for disaster. So if you're a personal trainer and you are getting someone to, and someone's new to the gym, they're intimidated, you're taking them over to a rack and they're trying to do a barbell squat and they're absolutely all over the shop like Bambi on ice, that's not going to be good for their confidence and their ability to enjoy the gym and stick to it, if you're trying to get them to do that and miserably failing. So it's important to kind of meet individuals where they're at, if that makes sense. So yeah, making sure you've got a movement that has progressive runway, so you've got enough load to progress it over time, or you've got ability to make it harder in some fashion with the target muscle being the limiting factor. So I hope you've enjoyed the episode. Any shares, story tags on Instagram is massively appreciated, so be sure to do so if you did enjoy it, and tag the Improvement Podcast, tag Charlie J. Cuthbert. And any ratings and reviews, subscriptions, massively appreciated as always. If there's any specific topics you'd like to see covered, drop me a message and let me know. And also just reach out if you do enjoy the podcast, because it's great to hear feedback on when do people to take value from it and enjoy listening to it. And hope everyone has a great rest of their day.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment, or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.